Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And good morning and welcome in to Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score. Lots going on both sides of town with our two first place teams, the Cubs and Sox, both sitting atop the Central and the American and National Leagues respectively. And that is always good news as we sit here on June 19th. Good morning, Bruce Levine.
Good morning, Mike Esposito. Welcome in. We're happy to have you sitting in for David Haw, who's taking a much-needed nice vacation with his family, and we'll be back next week. But, Espo, it's just nice to have you with us, talking some Cubs and
Appreciate
Sox
it.
Baseball. As you said, both the White Sox and Cubs in first place, clinging to it at this point. White Sox had a comfortable lead early in this week. Looked like they were going to step on the gas a little bit, but kind of got slowed down here with the first couple games in Houston. Chicago Cubs fighting their way back from New York and having a clunker last night against the Miami Marlins. So we will begin talking about both teams. Again, this is Inside the Clubhouse. We're here for you every week, 52 weeks out of the year, talking Chicago baseball. Our number is 312-644-6767. You want to get interactive with us either through text or the phone. And Mike, let's start in Houston with the Chicago White Sox. Another great outing by Carlos Rodon, gone to waste yesterday because of Houston and holding the White Sox down offensively.
Yeah, the White Sox got seven innings of three-hit, one-run ball from Rodon, another gem. And really, this one got into the bullpen, and Garrett Crochet in the end winds up giving up the walk-off double to Alvarez. So the Astros win it 2-1. The Astros are hot, though, and Bruce, and we said this coming into the series. They're one of the better hitting teams in baseball. They have won five straight. They're playing great baseball right now. The White Sox, as you said, too, had a nice comfortable lead in the American League Central. It's still 3.5 games over the Indians, and they're still certainly the odds-on favorite there. But only a handful of hits for the White Sox last night, and certainly the injury's not helping. But seven hits for the White Sox, and the one run off of Garcia, who was the Astros starter last night.
And we're going to explore during the show the White Sox having additions and touching on dealing with their offensive problems here. They've scored enough runs because, in fact, Espo, you have a team that has allowed the fewest runs in the American League, second fewest in baseball. They're only giving up 3.5 runs per game, which is the lowest in the American League and second lowest in baseball. The only team that's given up less, the New York Mets. So this is a great pitching team, as we know. But offense is certainly a challenge with now Madrigal down for the entire season. Joining Robert and Jimenez on the IL. So there are some challenges here. Rick Hahn talked earlier in the week about that they will make deals. They want to make prudent deals, Mike, not giving away the farm, literally the farm, for players to plug in here. But again, it's pie in the sky when you're thinking about Jimenez and Robert coming back to help you. They are still light years away for going out and starting to play in games. Good news on Jimenez, of course, and that is he started to do some baseball activities. Robert's still a ways away. If you're going to count on them, it's a huge mistake. If they're back in September and they're on the roster and they can help, that would be great. But getting into game shape, being a part of what the White Sox want to do the rest of the way, that's not the plan. So Rick Hahn will be out there. His scouts are out there looking at players. We will discuss what we think maybe could help the Chicago White Sox along the way in our second hour as well.
Yep, and a texter quickly asking why Adam Engel is not playing every day, Bruce, and Engel's still working his way back from the hamstring injury. He's being eased back in, and we'll actually talk to Adam Engel on the show today around 10:30, so we're definitely looking forward to that. Billy Hamilton also, who had been playing well for the Sox, he's on his way back, but it is not going to be a quick thing. He apparently felt a pinch while taking swings on Thursday, that according to Tony La Russa, so he's still a ways away as well. And I saw this, Bruce, and I found it interesting. So Jake Berger, the first-round pick from 2017, who had had back-to-back Achilles tendon injuries, is now playing again, and he's a third baseman. But I see that down at Charlotte, they've had him start at second now to try to kind of get some versatility in his mix there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I saw some actually on NBC Sports Chicago. They showed some video of him playing second base. And it was in the post game of the White Sox game 2 days ago, and Ozzie Guillen, along with Chuck Garfine, Ozzie said, "Yeah, he looks like a 16-inch softball player over there at second base."
Yeah.
So he's not exactly used to playing a position other than third base. He's going to get another start there today in their game. So you know, the White Sox obviously are not afraid to try outside-the-box ideas. We saw that with Vaughn, who had never played the outfield before and has been starting a lot of the games in left field this year out of desperation, you know, after, you know, losing two outfielders. So they are trying it. Give them credit for that. I don't know if that's going to be functional, but we'll see. Jake Berger coming back after basically 3 years of fighting Achilles tendon tears is now hitting pretty well. I think he has something like an 850 OPS with Charlotte. So that's good news. And, you know, you can tell the White Sox are trying everything right now.
Yep, and he does have 8 homers down at Charlotte. And before we get into the Cubs, Bruce, I wanted to mention the score's first ever What About Chicago Radiothon. It's this coming Wednesday, the 23rd. Danny Parkins will be on the air for 24 consecutive hours, starting at 9 a.m. on the 23rd through 9 a.m. on the 24th, through all score shows, overnights and everything. It's the What About Chicago Radiothon, benefiting former Bear Sam Acho's charity, Athletes for Justice. They're raising funds to build a grocery store in the Austin neighborhood. Acho will be on the program. Lots of other athletes and kids from Austin Harvest will join. So if you'd like to donate, if you'd like to learn more about the event, head on over to the Score's website, 670thescore.com/give, or you can text give to 44995. It's a great cause. We'll be giving away prizes, tickets, Cubs, Bulls, Blackhawks, autographs, etc. All of that and more connected to the What About Chicago Radiothon. So definitely listen in on Wednesday and then into Thursday and donate if you can to the great cause. So look forward to that.
Yeah, I asked Danny to come out today, but golf is number one, and he needs to relax a little bit and get ready for the 24-hour radiothon on Wednesday.
He's got to get his voice in shape for all that talking, so he needs to rest it on the old golf course. Speaking of resting, Bruce, I was just going to say the Cubs bats have been fairly silent. They won the series finale in New York, but then last night only four hits, two of them solo shots by Jock Peterson that accounted for all of their scoring. But the Cubs bats certainly have quieted of late.
Yeah, look, you know, they have so many excuses I don't make for teams or people, but, you know, the reality of a lot of injuries for the Chicago Cubs. You have a bunch of guys that are rehabbing, trying to come back. And Horner, in Duffy, in Bodie, you have guys that are integral parts of that team that adds to their depth that is just missing there. Again, no excuses for the Cubs, but, you know, all the way around baseball, as we've seen, Mike, just run scoring, and in particular the National League is just like, you know, we're looking at all-time low batting averages at 238 right now, I think, across Major League Baseball. A tad up after we heard about the baseball's edict about cracking down on using any type of product for pitchers on the baseball. But still, how can we put this sensitively? How can we say not boring some games because of the fact that pitching dominates so much?
Yeah.
I've always been a guy that loves the 2-1 game.
Sure,
I used to love the 2-1, 2-hour and 25-minute game of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Those don't appear anymore because the 2-1 games now have anywhere from 6 to 8 or 9 pitchers involved in it. No longer Gibson against Fergie Jenkins in a 1 hour and 52 minutes. So it's a challenge for Major League Baseball to add offense here. And getting back to the Cubs, it's been a challenge for the Cubs to score runs. Their last five games, Mike, the only runs that have scored have been through the home run. So that's a tell right there.
Yep. No, and you know what, Bruce, and you know, I also appreciate a great pitcher's duel. It is my preferred type of game, but you're right. When you know, when you're just looking straight at batting average, and your guys like Baez is hitting 230, Jason Hayward and Ian Happ are down in the 100s on the Cubs side. Chris Bryant is your only real starter. I won't count Patrick Wisdom in there yet, but he has certainly been hitting well. But KB right around 290, 288 to be exact, but you know, you're not getting a lot of hits on the White Sox side. Tim Anderson, and before he got hurt, Madrigal were right above 300. But you don't have a ton of guys hitting for average. You have a lot of the three outcome guys. And we saw that last night. Jock Peterson with two solo shots. That's all the Cubs scoring. And the Marlins really broke it open in the third inning off of Zach Davies, who had pitched. He was cruising into that third inning, and then some walks got the better of him. And then Duvall battled him in that at-bat. And then lined one out to left for the grand slam that really broke the game
right open. We have to mention that he got hit on the leg as well.
Sure.
During that inning. To his credit, he did not use that as an excuse, refused to use it as an excuse, stayed in the game another almost three innings. So, you know, credit to him. He's what we've learned about him this year being a Cub for the first time is a stand-up guy. He's been through some adversity, especially at the beginning of the year. Had pitched tremendously well over the last nine starts, I believe, or six starts. And last night was a hiccup for him, for sure. But
yep.
Nonetheless, the pitching has been the key for the Chicago Cubs, especially that bullpen. Getting length out of the starting pitchers is something that they've been moving toward, and we'll have to continue to do if that bullpen is going to be able to hold up for another 90 games this year.
Yep. Yeah, and the Cubs, we mentioned off the top, they're still in first place. Milwaukee has lost five in a row in second place. But between the Cubs in first place and the Cardinals in fourth, there is only a four-game separation there. Pittsburgh really the only team way out of it. So it looks like we have a four-team race here in the National League Central, Bruce. It should be certainly an exciting summer, and I know Cubs fans coming into the year skeptical or maybe confused. Confused is probably the wrong word, but not sure what they were going to get out of this team after the Darvish trade and some other moves in the offseason. But the Cubs have, as you mentioned, they're pitching well. They're the only team in the division with a plus run differential. And they are sitting in first place, 39-31, as we are sitting here with, 70 games in the books. So that is a good omen, a good start for the Cubs. And we'll talk later in the show, too. What are these Cubs going to do a month from now, 6 weeks from now, when the trade deadline's coming up? And where will they be, I think, is, do you have your forecasting hat on? Because I think a lot of Cubs fans already advocating for the Cubs to try adding. And we'll see how it goes. But I think you have to see where they're at, you know, come the trade deadline.
Only 42 days and counting until the trading deadline for both the White Sox, Cubs, Major League Baseball.
Yep.
And it's going to be fascinating to see over these next few weeks how the Cubs, Jed Hoyer and Rick Hahn from the White Sox approach this, because we know the White Sox are going to add. As to what the cost will be, we don't know. With the Cubs, it's almost the perfect scenario for the Cubs and at the same time the perfect nightmare for the Cubs, Mike. Because you have a situation where the Cubs are in first place. They've overachieved people's standards this year, staying in first place and being there right now. And they also have the most free agents on their team of any team in baseball going toward 2022. I think on the 26-man roster, there's 13 guys that can be free agents in November. So with that perspective, you know, right now you have a divide of Cub fans talking about, do we add to this team and try to win, or do we sell off and over the next 3, 4, 5 years benefit from these young players that we would get in a trade for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 guys that we could trade at the trading deadline. I think it's a fascinating situation to be in. And I think if you talk to Jed Hoyer before the season started and he understood his situation, this would be ideal and at the same time a real hair puller to try to decide which way you want to go.
Yep. It's definitely going to be interesting, and we will certainly be talking about it here on Inside the Clubhouse. Coming up on the show today, I mentioned Adam Engel from the White Sox will join us during the 10 o'clock hour. When we return from our quick timeout that we're going to take here, Cubs third base coach Willie Harris will join us. We look forward to talking to Willie, and we look forward to talking baseball here till 11 every Saturday morning on Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we are back on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito in for David Haugh today. Glad to be with you. Talking Cubs, talking White Sox baseball here. Both teams in first place here on June 19th, Bruce. And we hope to talk to Willie Harris, Cubs third base coach, in a moment here. But as we get back into it, and we left off talking about last night's game against the Marlins, and you mentioned Zach Davies, you mentioned the pitching that the Cubs have been getting, and certainly Kyle Hendricks a big part of that. And he's really turned his season around after a rough start and got a big win in New York to close out that Mets series, Bruce.
Yeah, Hendricks is, you know, I would say, you know, the ERA doesn't indicate it because of the clunky start he had to the season, but 9 wins on the season, this guy is going to be a candidate for the All-Star game. He's pitched that well over these last 9 starts. He's been lights out. So this is a guy that has not only turned his season around, but been everything that you want an ace to be, and that is stopping losing streaks and getting the Cubs pointed the other way. That was never more indicated than on Thursday when he stopped the New York and had that great start against the Mets.
Absolutely, and a few texters chiming in, Bruce, and you mentioned the number 312-644-6767. If you'd like to call or text, the number is the same. We welcome your participation. Dueling texters, though, Bruce, one of them says from the 773, Cubs are fool's gold. Tear it down now. This team can't make a deep playoff run. The immediate next text says the Cubs are in first place. They have the fourth best record in the league. How do you justify not buying? And that really is the dilemma, isn't it, for Jed Hoyer, is that you have a fan base that has been energized by a first-place team, and the Cubs have been there most of the season, and others who think, well, it's smoke and mirrors, they can't keep it up, whatever. You know, that's why Jed gets paid the big bucks, I guess, to decide what to do there.
Well, Mike, David Haugh and I had this conversation last week, and he said they must add. You know, the Cubs must add. They have this great opportunity, and I get it. I understand it. But I said to David, I said, well, you and Mully in November when free agency starts and the Cubs get nothing for any of their free agents because they added, you guys will be the first ones to say, why didn't they make the proper moves during the season? And again, it'll be a fair assessment at that time. But right now, the hard decision is Hoyer's as to what to do over this next six weeks. And the idea that, you know, they have a good team, probably as good as most of the teams in the National League, and they have an opportunity to win. And you must seize that opportunity when you can. But at what cost? You know, again, what will the cost be to you in 2022, 23, 24, when the fans are asking you to have a competitive team then, and you haven't added to that team when you should have at the trading deadline? So, like everyone else, I'm kind of in between on where the Cubs should go.
Well, and let's talk to somebody who's there in that clubhouse. Let's head on out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book.
One of my old friends in baseball, a White Sox icon, now the third base coach of the Chicago Cubs. Willie Harris joins us on Inside the Clubhouse today. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing good. Mike and I are pleased to talk to you today. And I guess the first question to you, Willie, we talked to you in spring training a little bit, but now as the season has gone on, how has this worked for you so seamlessly? Are you fitting in with this group, just having fun and kind of transcending the idea that you haven't been there a long time?
Well, I think for me, man, just being able to come in and be myself, not force myself onto anyone, especially in spring training in the start, give the guys an opportunity to get a good feel for who I am and for what I stand for and for what I bring, which is energy every day. I bring the energy, and, you know, those guys feed off of that, and things have been great for me so far here. I love the staff. I love the fans. I love Wrigley. Everything's been great.
Yeah, and Willie, certainly Bruce and I both got to know that energy and covering the White Sox back in the early 2000s, and we saw it throughout your long playing career. But it really does look like, and again, from afar, and I know a lot of our listeners just watching the games on TV or from the stands, but it certainly looks like you guys are having a ton of fun out there.
I tell you what, man, the clubhouse atmosphere is great. I mean, we're loose. We have a good time, and we've been winning some games. Hopefully we can continue to have fun and continue to get some W's for Wrigley Field. But I think those guys, they have built like a really good chemistry, man. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to be around.
Willie, David Ross is a stickler for fundamentals. I found that out while he was a catcher, when he was with the team, you know, back in 2015 and 16, and more so as he became more involved in the front office and then eventually the manager of the team, that he was pretty insistent on good defense and good base running. Now, every manager looks at that. Every manager makes it a focal point. But David's been really adamant about it. Since you're involved with the base running and outfield defense, what have you learned about David and his desire to have very good ancillary parts to his baseball team?
Rossi, man, he like you said, he's really locked in on the fundamental side of the game. Base running is huge for him. And it's huge for our team, too, as well. Being over that area, having that area as a part of, like, one of my main jobs, you know, I'm always talking to the guys about reading balls in the dirt, going first to third, giving them all different types of situations and scenarios that may occur throughout the game. And Rossi encourages me to do that. So I think we've done a really good job in that area. I think we're sixth in the league right now in base running. And I think we can be better. I mean, if you look at our lineup, we're built to slug. We're built to hit home runs, you know. But, you know, some of those days, those home runs aren't going to be there. What can we do to sacrifice a run? That could be reading the ball in the dirt. That could be tagging up on a fly ball, getting in the scoring position, with getting to third base with one out. I mean, it's so many different ways to win a ball game without just hitting a home run. And those guys have been doing a really good job with the base running, going first to third and anticipating balls in the dirt and taking advantages of our opponents' mistakes and their lazy play. So hopefully we can continue to do that.
Talking with Cubs third base coach Willie Harris with us here on Inside the Clubhouse. And Willie, I mentioned your long playing career. You played for a bunch of different teams. Your longest tenure was with the White Sox. And you mentioned the base running. You were known for your base running. You're always a heady player, always out there being aggressive. As you moved into coaching, how did you translate that into, you know, what you were going to be doing as a coach, and specifically to coaching third base? I got to imagine it's not as easy as just going out there and waving or holding up a stop sign, right?
I tell you what, man, it's a lot goes into it prior to the games, and I understand coaching third base is going to come with a lot of criticism. I get that. And I can deal with that. You're going to send guys that are going to get thrown out, and you're going to send guys that are going to be safe. You just have to have the correct calculations and hope you're right. it's very instinctual. You know, you be out there coaching third, and there's so many things going through your mind, and you want to make the correct decision, but you're not going to be correct all the time. So for me, I want to know how well the outfielders throw, how well they move, who has the strongest arm, who's my base runner in this particular situation, where are we at in the lineup, are we going to possibly make a pitching change if we're towards the bottom. Lots of things go through my mind. So that's really how I decide on what I'm going to do when it comes to sending a guy or holding a guy at third base.
The second most famous person from Cairo, Georgia, our friend Willie Harris, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. What was that like growing up in a city where Jackie Robinson was from, born? And I mean, not raised totally because his family moved right to California after a while, but what was that like? And at what point did you go back and kind of check that history out, or was that always in your face?
No, as a kid growing up, I had no idea who Jackie Robinson was. It's sad to say. I think kids should be taught early on who Jackie Robinson was and what he did for this country and for the game of baseball. I had a high school teacher. Her name was Cheryl Simmons. She was my English teacher. And she recommended I do my paper. We had to do a research paper on, you know, people who were famous, whether it be a president, whatever. And she recommended that I do my paper on Jackie Robinson because she knew how I felt about baseball, and she knew I was in love with the game. So that's when I really learned about Jackie Robinson and what he had accomplished and what he went through and things like that. And since then, you know, I just try to carry myself in a positive way. No matter the negativity that's around, I try to stay positive no matter what. And what, like Jackie Robinson's quote, like, what good is your success if you can't help others? So that's kind of how I roll every day. I try to be positive. I try to bring the energy every day. And I also understand that every day is not going to go my way. So, like I said earlier, I can deal with those things. And it's tough to deal with, but you have to deal with them, you know?
Yeah, for sure, Willie. And I know it's probably hard for you. You know, here you are. You played a long time in the bigs, but as you're here in your early 40s, you're considered, you know, an old man of baseball, right? You're a mentor to a lot of the young kids. So it's important to have that positivity, right?
It's very important, and it's so huge. I mean, dealing with guys like, you know, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Hayward and all of these guys, you know, they come to me sometimes and we talk, and I'm saying to myself, man, I'm talking to Riz and KB and Hayward about base running. These guys have been in the league a long time, but they want it. You know, they feed off of that stuff, and they want the information, and they go out and perform. They go out and perform at a high level every day.
Willie, as far as, you know, the pressure to score runs, you know, runs are so hard to attain these days in baseball with the pitching being so dominant. As a third base coach, do you feel even more pressure because of the fact that runs are at a premium, and one run, even early in a ball game, these days can make a difference in a game?
You know, runs are very hard to come by, Bruce, especially in this game right now. I mean, the pitching is really dominating the game, but I don't think it brings pressure on me as far as, If I have all of my calculations correct and I know the information going in, and, you know, analytics pretty much says send every guy. You have to have good feel and know who your base runners are. You have to know who your base runners are. And you have to have really good secondary leads at second base. And if those guys are giving me really good secondary leads at second base, I'll take my shot, depending on where we are in the lineup. I mean, I don't want to send a guy and it might be a bang bang play at the plate and I got Rizzo or, you know, the middle of our order coming up. I don't want to make that mistake, but you do have to be aggressive in certain situations, and in certain situations you have to be a little bit less aggressive depending on the scoreboard. You know, the scoreboard will let me know everything that I need to do as a coach, and I tell those guys the scoreboard will let you know everything you need to do as a base runner. Take a peek at the scoreboard, it'll let you know.
You had that situation in New York, and it didn't work out, but it took perfect play by the defense to eliminate Marisnik at home plate. So obviously, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday. Explain your thinking on that play and the understanding of all those things you just mentioned about preparation.
Well, what was going on in my mind during that play, like you said, it didn't work out, but I got my best runner on first base in Marisnik, and Kevin Pillar is playing left center field. Sogard's hitting, who normally doesn't pull a ball. He pulls the ball towards the right center field gap, and Marisnik is running as hard as he can around the bases. I know we're at the bottom of the lineup. I know who we have coming up, and I understand that, you know, these guys are going to have to be perfect to get Marisnik with his speed. I took a chance in that situation and tried to be aggressive. Like you said, it didn't work out, but we still had a shot, you know, with a runner on second in that situation to tie the game. In that particular time, it didn't work out for us, and hopefully next time it works out for us, but I think it was the right play. I think it was me being aggressive, and it might have been a little too aggressive. That could be the case, depending on how you view it. But for me, I thought it was the right play. It didn't work out for us, and hopefully it'll work out for us next time.
Willie, last thing I have for you, and you know, we talk to all baseball fans here in Chicago. Our White Sox fan base would be remiss if I didn't ask a member of the world champion White Sox from back in the early 2000s, your favorite memory or two from that team that did win the World Series.
My favorite memory?
Yeah.
I have two. Number one would be being able to contribute in that game four in Houston, coming off the bench, facing a tough pitcher in Brad Lidge, and just being able to contribute, you know, being a role player. It's tough to crack that lineup, especially in the postseason, but being able to contribute, that would be my main memory there, my at the top of my list. And the second one would be the parade. I mean, that parade was ridiculous. Those Southside fans, they were there, man. The Chicago fans, they were out there for that parade, and I remember it very clearly, riding on those trucks, and everybody just had a wonderful time, and I really enjoyed that, man. And now being on the north side, you know, it's a little different, because when I was coming up in the minor leagues, you know, with the White Sox, we were taught not to like the Cubbies, and that's just how it was. And you know, it's not just about the fans in that situation. You want to compete. Like, it's the north side versus the south side, and it's a big deal. It was a big deal for me then. It's a big deal for me now. I mean, you want to beat the opposition. Well, and I'm on the north side now. I want to beat the White Sox. Well, that's just how it goes. So we'll see how everything turns out when we meet up with those guys.
Willie, whenever we meet, we smile and we remember that great championship, and that's forever going to be a part of our relationship. Thanks so much for taking some time out today. Keep up the great work. Rossi, you know, as you walked away yesterday, told me that you are in an invaluable part of the Chicago Cubs and what they're doing right now, and I'm sure that makes you feel good. Thanks for joining Mike and I today.
It really does. Thank you guys for having me this morning. You guys have a good day.
All right, thanks.
You too.
Willie Harris, third base coach of the Chicago Cubs. It's strange to say Willie Harris and Chicago Cubs.
I know.
But Mike, that is the reality of 2021 right now.
I hear you, and I had to check myself thinking, wait a second, is it really almost 20 years ago that we used to talk to him in the White Sox clubhouse when he was a young player? And yes it is. And, you know, that's the magic of baseball, I guess, right, as it goes from era to era, generation to generation, and we are glad to be here to talk about it with all the White Sox and Cubs fans. We will
when we come back, Mike. Who are your Chicago Cub and Chicago White Sox All Stars? If the voting ended today, who are your All Stars in 2021? 312-644-6767. He's Mike Esposito. I'm Bruce Levine. You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse at 670thescore.com.
And we are back on 670 The Score and Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haw this week. Glad to be with you talking Chicago baseball at 312-644-6767. And Bruce, we were mentioning the All-Star game right before our break.
Well, Mike, if the All-Star voting ended today, who would be your Cub and White Sox representatives? I think it's an easy Cub call with Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell right now.
Agreed.
Now, the way that Kyle Hendricks has been pitching over the last month, if that continues on for another 2 or 3 weeks, he has to be a major consideration. Throw out the ERA and look at the overall work. Your thoughts on any other Cubs right at this point?
No, and I think Hendricks is your wild card in 14 starts. He has 9 wins, and as you said, throw out the ERA and some of those early rough outings. He's won, I believe, it's 7 straight starts, definitely KB. For sure, Craig Kimbrell. I think the closers on both sides of town are pretty easy ones, right? But certainly Craig Kimbrell has been one of the stories for the Chicago Cubs this season.
Who are your Chicago White Sox players, Mike?
So I start with the pitching staff with the White Sox, Bruce, and that is not a surprise. I mentioned Hendricks already. I think last night's starter, Carlos Rodon, has had really a magical season. I think he's got to be on there. And Lance Lynn, I know a lot of people, when the Sox acquired Lynn, weren't so sure about trading Dane Dunning down there and what Lance Lynn was going to bring. But I think he has certainly shown what he brings to this clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with those three. Those three pitchers have to be on that All-Star game roster if it stops today. They have been phenomenal. I'm going to throw in there certainly Jose Abreu. He has slumped as of late, but he is an RBI machine.
Yep.
He's a guy that continues to produce, the guy that they look to. Certainly Tim Anderson has to get some look and you know, the ability to continue to ignite that offense at the top. We saw the White Sox struggle when he was on the IL. We saw it last year when he was on the IL. He is the igniter of that offense, and
yep,
consideration certainly there for him. Look, the White Sox have been one of the best teams in baseball from the very beginning of the season, Mike. So considering 3, 4, 5 White Sox players is not out of the question at all.
No, and you know what? I think if I had to pick only one position player, I mean, you just mentioned the two most likely candidates, but I think I take Anderson despite Abreu's 52 RBIs, and I'm not just looking at batting average, but I think the whole, you know, the whole sparking the offense, the spark plug thing, and really how they did struggle when Tim was out. If I'm having to pick one or the other, I'm going with Anderson, but I think both are certainly deserving.
Yeah, and you know, look, there are other players on both the Cubs and White Sox that have stood out, but I think you know, as of today, you know, those would be my picks. There's still plenty of time left. I think All-Star voting is going to go another couple weeks here.
Right.
So we'll see how it works out. I think Bryant has you know, he's in a little slump right now. He's dropped from 308 to 288, but his contributions and his resurgence in his game overall, and
right,
just how he plays seamlessly from position to position, that to me, that's, you know, that's everything that a most valuable player is, the way that that Bryant has played so far this year.
Right. And another interesting tangent to this, and we can maybe get into it during the 10 o'clock hour, is, you know, you have middle relievers on both sides of town and really all over the league having great seasons, and those are guys not normally represented in an All-Star game. You normally either get closers or starters, but you don't get those middle relief guys. But you have guys like Tapera having great seasons.
Yeah, he's got to be considered. You're right. I mean, normally middle relievers are not, but he has been so dominant actually since last year. He has to be considered, and hopefully he will.
So we will get to that during the 10 o'clock hour as well. Some more All-Star game talk. We'll hopefully be joined by Adam Engel of the White Sox around 10:30. And when we come back, Bruce, we will do a little, should he stay or should he go? I think you know where this is heading with the trade deadline coming up. We'll do that when we return on Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.